You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
JC, is that what you were telling me?
Yeah.
No, look,
gets that joke.
This is his dad.
Nobody saw that movie.
I did. It wasn't that good.
It's clearly the sequel to Good Will Hunting. About 25 years later, Ben Affleck's character moved out to the coast, still working construction. It's perfect.
That is so true.
No, he is working construction for being Batman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you look at it in a metatextual way, this movie is kind of the Batman if. Becoming Batman is what makes him an alcoholic, not being Batman.
Oh, too exactly. Soon, Chris. Oof.
Is it though?
It is. Shut up. We're talking about The Way Back, also known as Finding the Way Back, depending on where you happen to be located. This is, it would seem from the outside to be an unusual turn for Ben Affleck, who seems like this is the sort of movie that people take kind of more early career, like on your way up, if you will.
Or maybe someone's having a movie out this year.
Or maybe somebody who's like a much older actor.
Clocking in time.
Trying to fight their way back into being relevant.
Well, the tagline is sort of like apropos. Everyone gets a second chance, or everyone needs a second chance.
I mean, the guy literally just starred in like hundreds of millions of dollars worth of budget superhero wide release films.
Well, but no one's really missing him in those.
Well, that's the thing. I think if he hadn't been Batman, like what was he really before? I mean, he was a high profile director, but as far as like him being an actor, you hadn't really heard much from him.
I mean, he's definitely not been, he's gone, other than the Batman thing, went through sort of somewhat of a fallow or at least behind the scenes period. Yeah. And according to reports, Affleck, after his marriage broke up, relatively long-term marriage, I believe, with Jennifer Garner.
Two kids.
He started falling pretty back on the bottle, which is something that he's had problems with before in the past, but apparently it got bad.
Well, apparently it was already pretty
admission
bad
as well. He said.
So this seems like a really cathartic thing for him to have made.
Well, that's why my argument is why he made it at all. Because although The Way Back feels like when it's marketed as, hey, it's an underdog sports movie with a dysfunctional coach who himself finds new life by, you know, the drill.
We've seen it's like this a Mighty Ducks.
A thousand times. Yeah. There's so many remakes of that. As it turns out, it is not that movie at all.
No.
I mean, it is on the outside, and certainly you could have rewritten this in a way where it was that movie. What this movie is more something like one of those going sober films. Like, I'm forgetting the name of the old Michael
Clean
Keaton
and sober.
Film. Clean and Sober. Yeah. Something like that, where it's really,
it's more
really,
character drama than it is sports.
It's so, a character piece.
It feels
about
like it gets hung
character
up on the sports drama a little bit more than it makes sense for the structure.
It really feels like, all right, now I gotta show the team doing something.
Yeah.
That sort of
and
thing,
then they
you know?
Spend a quarter of the movie doing that, like, oh, right, character drama. Let's get back to him being drunk.
Which is odd that it doesn't have more of a balanced focus with the team, because the director, Gavin O'Connor, has done a lot of films that were very highly regarded sports-related films, like Warrior and Miracle, of course. Yeah. Which is
Love Me Some Miracle.
Yeah, which was one of those surprises no one expected to be anywhere near as good
right,
as
right, he made Aerosmith relevant again.
That's,
no way.
That's my favorite.
No one has made Aerosmith.
That's one of my
relevant
favorite Kurt Russell performances, by the way. He's just amazing in that.
It's great. But in this particular one, well, you know what? Before we even go there, let's say who we all are, because someone recently bitched at me because they're like, I can't tell who was on that review. All right, well, you're right. I'm not saying. There's a code of silence. I'm Chris.
I'm Frank.
I'm Ben.
JC.
Spider Mike.
I like that you're keeping with the Spider Mike.
It's nice. It's easy.
Trying to say we all sound alike.
What'd you say, Spider Mike? So in this particular film, Ben Affleck is playing Jack Cunningham, and he was a former high school basketball player who was like literally the best player that team had ever had. Yet like many, many, many years later, still in their gym, they're banners that show like basically our number one player, like the glass case right in front of the school is like still his jersey and the award.
Those Catholic guys can't get rid of any of this.
Oh my god, is this a Christian version of Eight Crazy Nights?
Yeah, it's at a Catholic school. When we meet him, though, it has nothing to do with any of that. He is a complete drunk to the point of one of those drunks who's like literally wakes up in the morning, cracks a beer, goes to take a shower, takes the beer with him into the shower.
Shower beer.
Taking sips between... Oh my god. Suddenly very worried about Ben.
The sheer amount of drinking he does is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty. He goes home just so wasted he can't stand every night. Usually helped home by one of his fellow barflies.
Elderly guy. Elderly
black guy. Is that Doc's job, just take drunk people home? Apparently?
I think so, yeah.
I want a guy like
that's
that.
It's pretty useful cab service, actually.
But he's clearly not a happy person, and it's not clear why at first. We find out not too long into it that he was married before. They're separated, not formally divorced. They had a kid who had died of cancer, I assume?
Tumors. Leukemia.
You say not too long into it. I felt like it took forever to get to that.
Well, it explains certain things, but the issue, or I don't, I'll explain my issue with it, but it does explain, it gives you bits and pieces as the movie progresses.
Yeah.
But he is in a very down place, and he's just isolated himself, and out of nowhere, he gets a phone call from the main priest, whatever you call that, at the school, the head father, Papa Doc.
Top
I don't
pedophile.
Know.
Oh, come on! Now.
Not all priests are pedophiles.
They're not very good at basketball.
But all pedophiles are priests. No, wait, that's not how that expression goes.
Look, he's very good with the balls.
Shush.
The basketballs, Chris.
No,
God,
he's not.
That's, get your head out of the gutter.
He's not. That's why he has to hire a coach for the team. The former coach quit for health-related reasons.
He had a heart attack.
And you got to be so damn specific.
That's what it said.
He's like, hey, you were like our champion, and we were wondering, we really need a coach. The team is terrible. Group of underdog kids. They're not very well organized at all. Maybe you could come in and do it. And at first, I mean, he literally spends a whole night getting wasted and trying to talk himself out of doing this, trying to like faux phone call him, say why he can't do it. And yet he shows up the next day and goes like, okay, well, let's do this.
Probably hungover too.
It's not very long into this before he's realizing he kind of really likes this, and even goes to the point, and this annoyed me at first until I realized where the film was going, goes to the point, he's like, you know what, maybe I just won't drink.
Yeah.
And just like immediately, okay, I'm not drinking anymore, and then goes and is this great coach, and the team's doing great. Okay, well, not everything stays super happy, which I was very pleased with, because that was more, if they had just stuck with that, I would have been like, seriously, fucking
it'd
movie? That guy
easy.
Was drinking in the shower.
I will still say,
there's such a thing as a relapse.
Yeah, I will still say, the way he just drops a cold turkey, though, still, for me, was like, look, that's a little bit hard to take, because that's like a 3-month period of like cold turkey. I'm like, that's more than normal alcoholic commitment.
He drinks a shelf's worth of beer.
I don't buy that he completely stopped. We may not have seen him, but I don't buy he completely stopped.
It's irrelevant. The point is, he's not in deep. He's not in the throes of it anymore. He's taking the team very seriously. And this is where it feels up until this point where you're like, oh, well, this really is a kind of a traditional sports underdog film, because they kind of wrapping up his alcoholic thing relatively quickly, although he's still dealing with some of the emotional issues from that and the relationship with his ex, well, separated from wife. But it's really focusing to some extent on the team. I'm going the whole time like, for a movie that seems like this is the way you're going, you're barely telling us anything about any of these players, like who they are as people.
Yeah.
You're like, you're faintly interested in what's going on
in the sports
with these
aspect
characters.
Of the film, especially from this director. That's quite surprising. But
yeah,
at the same
exactly.
Time, those are I think, I don't know if it's because of that, but those are the most boring elements of this film. Like, these, none of these kids have any like personality to write home about.
No,
you know. But I mean, even the sequences aren't that interesting at any of the games. I felt that the strength was in this damaged character.
Well, that's definitely the focus.
And they finally find their way back, but it's literally
is that purpose?
But they get you're right. Damn it, that's not even me trying shit. But literally, the thing is,
somebody somewhere out there is like, gotcha.
Part of my issue with them,
get him.
Well, you should, and
marketing's
this is the part,
so happy now.
You put your sunglasses on and go, yeah.
I think it's kind of another of the issues I have with this movie is like, it does feel like it's focusing on that, and it feels like it's a full movie of like half-assedly focusing on this team, and then it's like, cool, so that's the happy ending. It's like, oh, by the way, we still have another movie. We actually meant to tell you this story. And then they switch back to focusing on him. And it's like, well, good, but it feels like it's almost out of nowhere to me by that point. Where it's like, you just kind of ignored this for half a movie.
Yeah, it's one of the things. Well, I think that Gavin O'Connor is really great at it. It's why I was looking so forward to this movie. This is kind of a step back from Warrior in that I think Warrior nailed all the things that you guys are saying you wanted in this movie. I think are delivered in that movie. Like, yeah, there aren't as many. There's a, in the trailers, there's a really good motivational speech that wasn't in this movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's, I thought that was going to come into play.
I want to back you up real quick on Warrior. I really, that's my favorite fighting movie of all time.
It's, I can't remember if it was my number one or two favorite movie.
Tremendous balance between character building and really exciting sports
and
sequences.
And one thing Gavin O'Connor has proven that he knows, like, this dude knows inner demons, and like, he can knows kind of what people go through in a relapse and how to really portray that. And yeah, he does all that well here. It doesn't focus quite as much on the sports as balance the two worlds as Warrior does.
Yeah, no, agreed. It's even though that whole middle act is really focused on the aspect of his life of being coach, it's not really focused on the team.
No,
caring that much about, like, whether they improve. I mean, it's part of the plot, but it's not part of the character story, really.
The movie's about him.
It's about him finally starting to gain a bit more confidence, and that confidence making it better, easier for him to start to actually go on the way back to recover. Even though 90% of this movie is really the way down.
Yeah.
It's the last 10 minutes that are like, the way back.
In the way he's just one of the reasons I feel we don't see him drink a lot, he's just replacing that high with another. With
yelling at kids.
There's
even a point where he explains that's basically what he's doing. I guess my issue is this movie just feels really unfocused on a lot of what it wants to do. You know, we discussed it afterwards like we always do after the movie, and you know, Frank was like, oh, yo, I thought it was this and this. It's like, but none of that's laid out. None that's ever not, it's not like it has to tell me that, but there's not even like, there's the groundwork. There's characters that just disappear for half the movie and then come back. There's clear large time jumps where, you know, as we said, for all we know, he's maybe still drinking just less, but we don't get shown any of that. It's literally just him at practice, him motivating the team with like the most B-grade sports movie montage. And it's like, so again, we're supposed to be focusing on him.
Thankfully, there's only one montage, sports montage.
But what I'm saying is, like, we're supposed to be
typical of Gavin O'Connor.
Right, we're supposed to be focusing on him as the character, and we're getting nothing except for B-grade sports movie for this whole section. We don't know what he's doing in his private life outside of here, if he is still drinking. As far as we've seen, he turns down drinking, and then it just goes on. And that's my issue. There's so much that's not even shown, nonetheless told. And then finally, it's like, and then he has a relapse. Like, sure.
It's kind of
relapse, that's very realistic.
It is, but I'm saying
handled well in the structure.
I'm saying it's
of the
one
film.
Of those things that's like a lot of stuff just not told.
Well,
not
I think the problem
told.
Is that they spend more time than they probably should with the aspect of the film that is the basketball film, mm-hmm. for a movie that is deeply uninterested in that, clearly. Even in the way he shoots it, he seems like he's like, let's just get this over with. It's like he is not giving, the director is not giving the sports scenes
his
all.
It's like he got his B director.
And maybe to some degree because he's like, yeah, because it's really only relevant that you know that they start to improve and not the details.
Yeah, well,
details
it's also his
that.
Third sports movie. He's probably bored of, you know what I mean? Well, no, I mean, how many times can I make that look interesting?
And
this is probably more interesting to me.
And it could also be kind of the, I guess, like the importance of the games. Like in this first movie, the U.S. is upsetting the Russians. In the second movie, you know, Joel Edgerton's character fighting for his family to keep his home in a $5 million purse. And this is high school kids trying to play high school basketball.
Right. Well, that's the least interesting of the three.
It just really feels like he got his second unit director and said, hey, you're going to film basketball scenes. Have you seen Hoosiers? I don't know, like once 20 years ago. Cool. Do whatever you remember from that. Don't watch it again. Just think of what basketball looked like there in your head and try it.
My biggest issue with the players is the fact that you're given maybe like a tiny bit of conflict. But the conflict is like, your son's really good at basketball. I think you should come. It's literally the entire conflict.
Yeah, and I hated those scenes, and I those are the scenes I hate in every single freaking like sports movie or teacher movie. And it's like, you know, I'm gonna yeah, I'm going to go ahead and try, you know, inspire this kid's life. Talk to the parent.
One student you expect, like, to expect. It's like, well, he's from a broken home or something. It's like, no, he just showed up late, and then, like, he just really wants
barely
to play basketball.
Late. He's barely
yeah,
cool, late.
Yeah, but that is kind of a cliched late. Moment that yeah. they do eventually have, like, the other cliched moment to bring it back. But then literally that is the last line yeah. that character gets entire movie.
Yeah. Not to keep comparing it to Warrior, but I think in why Warrior was simple is because Warrior had a lot less characters.
It's true.
You could have the character, the two brothers and then the one brother's wife, and they just like those small amount. To fit all the personalities of a basketball team into a movie like this, he probably had to pick and choose. And
yeah. I haven't seen Warrior, but correct me if I'm wrong. I've only seen like little bits and pieces for it. But no, I mean, I can see how like those two that felt like at least from the trailers, like character drama and sports movie, but those sort of interlocked in a very mm-hmm. you know specific way. Yeah. The way that
doesn't interlock is the problem.
It just can't. They care
so little about the basketball team. Like we have 10 players. We have the 5 starters. They're the only people who get names. Yeah. And then we have that other guy that interchanges with the one guy we kick off the team for 2 scenes. Don't worry about it. He'll show up once or twice.
Both Affleck and the director are obviously much more concerned with the story of like human redemption and suffering.
It's
the
more
alcoholism.
Interesting than this,
though. You know, well, I mean, it can be. It depends on who you are watching the movie. I like the occasional sports underdog.
I will say Affleck is
I think it's just what you said. It's that they never really feel like they congeal into one movie. The sports thing is never given as much weight as it needed to be able to balance out appropriately. It should have given either more or considerably less, quite frankly. But I'll also say as well, and I'm going to give Affleck full points, he is super fucking committed to this
role. He's acting his ass off in this movie.
He's terrific in it. But this is not something that's exactly a new character exploration we've seen before. Nobody is going to put this up against, you know, Leaving Las Vegas. Yeah,
I was thinking it too, actually. Yeah. Okay, cool.
In terms of exploration of severe alcoholism or even Clean and Sober, which is a really solid film.
Yeah. No, totally.
It's just
another
kind of,
Batman thing.
This is a movie for Affleck to work out his demons, and maybe Gavin. I don't know. Maybe he has problems with it too. But
I'm curious about. I don't know. He's one of the few directors that I really like. I don't know anything about him, but like, the dude understands like inner demons so well. Like, what is up with this guy's head?
Yeah, right. What's his? What's
he
your
hangs
story,
out with Ben
dude?
Affleck all the time.
It's almost like you should have an interview podcast.
A lot of the issues I have with the character study of him is it keeps throwing new information at you as the movie progresses, because you're like, well, he's drunk because he has a separation from his wife. It's like, no, it turns out he's drunk because of this. Like, it just starts throwing more and more new information at you.
That's kind of
really late
of the
into
way
the game,
he
though.
Lays out information in Warrior 2.
I like it's not this,
and even the accountant.
Yeah,
but isn't it fun that it's the oh god. But isn't it?
I know, it's great. It's so great.
Frank just died inside.
I know. I mean,
Frank agrees. It's the accountant.
I don't fight for the accountant.
About the accountant is listening to Zach talk about Joker.
Yeah.
Okay. I purposely
or
sat.
You talking about Chris Pine.
I heard about John Cena or kids. But
that's why he loved this other part. It makes a lot of sense now, Frank.
Sorry.
Ben.
I wasn't expecting kids to jump in there.
You are kids, but. Now I lost my train of thought. Fuck it, go. Just keep on going.
Well, I do want to say one of my big things with this is like when they layer that stuff in there, it's also like, look, when the stuff about his wife, it's like, or a separated wife, it's like, look, you left him for a reason that you know he can't deal with the stuff, and then she keeps trying to drag him into the stuff he clearly isn't dealing with, and it's like,
oh yeah,
it's like, look, either you don't want to put up with him not being able to handle this stuff, or you don't understand who he is at all or what his issues are, did you leave then?
Help him or stay away from him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think
she's bringing him back into it.
It was so interesting to see. First of all, I love the way that they laid out the information. They sort of like doled it out. I hate that, you know, you as soon as you meet a character, you get this like laundry list of their history together. And that's usually I cringe at those moments, because that's the times that it reminds me that I'm watching a movie. Like that is, those moments are made for the audience. They're not written for the characters.
Yeah, where another character goes, you know, when you left Dottie, it really
broke her apart, turn to like,
especially after your
whenever
kid died
I see Ben, I'm gonna say, hey Ben, remember that time we met, that first time we went to go see this guy who dumped me at the Alamo Draft House, and you know,
I think of characters like, yeah, hi, sis. Yeah, it's weird that I call you sis, even though you're my sister, and I would just call you by your first
name.
Exactly.
And I think that this movie avoided that. successfully avoided that at every turn with the way they laid out all the histories between
Ben Affleck. It doled it out in a naturalistic way.
Yeah, I really felt that a lot. I loved it.
I mean, its ultimate goal was to be supernaturalistic, which was hard to mix with the people sitting behind us who thought they were watching an actual sports game.
Oh my god! It's like they were at a real game.
Yeah, that's how natural it was.
Like literally, anytime anybody did anything positive in the film, they were like, "Woo, you go!"
They got so tense in like the big game moments. Like, have you watched a sports movie? Because this is following all the notes.
It wasn't as bad as Motherless Brooklyn, though.
Yeah, well, that's the first time in a while I actually just got up and moved to another.
I'm still not sure it's not the same people. Just this time, JC yelled at them in advance.
I was anticipating needing having to move to another.
Yeah.
Oh, did you yell at them?
Yeah. Right when the movie started.
He was like, hey, some of us trying to watch the movie over here.
And they tried their best, which is still not good.
But you're always going to have that. Hey, my advice to you is it's 9 times out of 10, if there's another seat that's acceptable, just move to the other seat. It's not worth having the fight. But in this case, there wasn't another acceptable seat available, so we went, shut up.
Oh, I would have craned my neck and sat front row.
Yeah, I was like, Chris, you did that in Motherless Brooklyn. You moved to the front row.
I was so annoyed. I was like, you know, I just don't want to get into a fight in a theater again. I've done it before.
And you climbed over.
You know, I almost joined you on that one. Yeah. That was close.
Anyway, sorry, we're getting off track, but let's. I feel like we've said a lot here. Let's go to final thoughts. Ben, get us started.
Sure. As I said, I feel like this movie is just, it's really disconnected. As I said to these guys when I got out, it feels like it's both compressed and overlong, because they compress a lot of that information where either you have to infer that it might still be happening or might be some knowledge or something, or you just have to be like, cool, so none of this stuff has any connection, and it's just happening to him, and it's literally just this character. You get a lot from his performance and from this character, but the rest of the movie seems to just find a flow to pick a moment saying, this has to happen to you now, this has to happen to you now for this movie to keep working, and it doesn't. Like, when it finally gets back to him, away from the sports movie, it kind of just does a bum rush to saying, okay, cool, now bad stuff. Now you find repentance, and you find understanding. It's like, yes, I understand how these movies work, and I expected deeper from this director, and I expected deeper from this performance. And we get it from the performance, but it's not enough for me. I think there's some other good performances in there. I think his family in this movie actually is pretty good, but we also barely see them. Al Madrigal plays the assistant coach, Dan, and I love Al Madrigal.
He has a moment or two, and you want more with him. You want more interacting.
He's a really entertaining actor and comedian, and he plays off Affleck really well. Like, when they have moments, both emotional and comedic ones, it feels like a natural relationship between these two guys who both really dig basketball and both kind of just want to talk. And you don't get a lot of that either. It's just, it's a really disconnected movie with some good performances and some good ideas, but they're all played out in ways we've seen before at best. I got to give it 5.5 out of 10 players you don't know the name of.
Frank?
I like this a little more than Ben, but I do think
it's no accountant, but you know.
Thank fucking God it's no accountant. I purposely sat out on that review. After the movie, I was like, Chris, I can't go to your house. I'm going to be the one that's going to bring everybody down.
Frank, there's no accounting for taste.
Well,
let's get way back to the review.
That's definitely true, because we keep inviting you to reviews, Ben.
Chris, you need somebody to pick to go first so you can actually think of an idea.
He keeps getting in.
That's not untrue. It's not untrue.
So anyway... Yeah, no, I like this way more than the accountant. I liked it more than as a character drama. But then I'm a sucker for those. I love seeing, and I get what you mean that we don't see a scene of him doing this or doing that. We do have to infer a lot, but I think that it's also relying on what's logical and what makes sense. For me, it was like, I think, okay, well, that makes sense. For me, I can see that person knows them from the past because of the way they're interacting with each other. And so, I mean, I sort of pick like things like that. But then also, I also hate being told a lot of stuff.
Sure, but you need to be shown some of it. And I feel like a movie that requires you to assume things are happening to make those connections is not doing its job of laying any groundwork. Because most of these people either have to be introduced to him or ask him questions that prove they've known nothing about him.
I don't know. I I feel like everybody that was there knew of him or knew him at some point. With such other players, I mean, even that one player, that gruff dad, knows who he was.
Yeah, the gruff dad who seems like we're going to explore that story for.
I know, but nope. But then I don't really want, because this is not, as a sports movie, it's pretty weak, and I think that there's as much sports in it as there is and is being marketed to get, you know, the mass audience in, because that's more entertaining to watch than a guy trying to come back out of alcoholism. But at the same time, I really love that there's nothing that's over imposing in this film in terms of, you know, there's not that overly inspiring music during a game, you know,
O'Connor's great at avoiding that aspect of the cliches, I mean, of this sort of film.
He did most of those in Miracle, but it worked.
One sequence, so right after a game that is usually reserved for the end of a movie, where it's like they win an important game and the game, it goes into a freeze frame shot. It's the only freeze frame in the whole movie. You're like, why did that, is the movie over? What just happened?
I think a lot of the cliches he did use in Miracle, but I think that I mean, the story of Miracle,
like his first film, I think.
I don't, may have been, it's 2003, but it worked there because, I mean, that story is such a great story and such a great two story. I know it's sad what's what I've seen now, but
what is happening right now?
Kurt Russell, I don't know.
No, it was the 20th anniversary, and Trump had all the surviving players there, and they were all wearing Trump hats.
It wasn't his first movie.
Yeah, and it was like, I know all of the three of them were. So
okay, well,
yeah. And they said, don't judge us. This isn't a political event. I'm like, well, you kind of made it. Anyways. Yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah. I think
I'm not distracted at all by that.
Sorry.
Final thoughts.
Anyway, yeah. This works better as a character drama. I think it's pretty solid. I think it's beautifully shot. I love the way, you know, they shot it in a similar way, I'm guessing, to what Warrior looks like.
No.
Okay. This is very subtle, or very.
This is
grainy.
More influenced by Manchester by the Sea in cinematography than it is by Warrior.
It's one of the weird things. Hold on to your thought, real quick. It was one of the weird things that was kind of frustrating me. Is this is clearly a different cinematographer, because with all the lens flares and everything, I'm like, this is not the same guy behind the camera. Yeah. But go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It wasn't glossy. It wasn't pretty, and I like that.
That's consistent.
Yeah. I really thought that worked in this movie's favor. I would like to see more of a character piece in a sports drama. But for what it is, I think it worked pretty well. I'm going to give 7 out of 10. Rest in peace, James Lipton, because I'm going to miss you.
You're like, I don't care if that's related to this film or not.
His cameo in this movie was really weird.
I did that for Kirk Douglas that same night. I mean,
he was on a beer can.
You mentioned the composer, and I was curious who he was, and I looked at all his movies. He was also the composer on The Way, Way Back.
Oh, yeah. In the family.
He's got a theme. Gotcha.
I like to thank Frank for the record that when James Lipton got to heaven, God said, "Ooh, do 10 questions on me."
Yeah. I've been waiting for this.
How does it feel to know you're not real?
I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to say, even though they're pearly gates. Ask me the fucking questions.
Oh my God. So, I like this movie slightly better than Ben, I guess, but only slightly. The thing is,
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
Well, because the thing is, the movie works as a character study a lot, but there's so much that just I felt like was randomly thrown in the middle of it while it's trying to be a sports movie at the same time. If you can get an editor, you could make a sports movie out of this, because it literally has the ending of a sports film in the middle of it for some fucking reason. And like, Ben Affleck's great in it. All the basketball players, you don't give a shit about any of them. Every time you think it's about to tell you something important about them, like, nah, it's cool. And it just cuts through it. And, like, and every time there's a game, it just sort of goes, and this is how it went. It's like, okay, but what about, okay, sure. And
it's the only really false moments in this film is anything having to, like
how basketball,
him having to have them run back and forth or run.
And
you know,
notice,
like,
the camera largely is focused on him, not on the team.
Yeah. Like, I felt it was more erratic because maybe he was just hung over a shit the entire time he's watching one of these basketball games. But, there's a lot of fun moments between him and a lot of the other characters, like the assistant basketball coach you guys were talking about, as well as this priest chauffeur guy or something. I don't really remember what his deal was.
The chaplain. He's
team,
a chaplain.
Team chaplain, which I didn't know was a thing.
I didn't know it was a thing either.
I know it was a thing either. Religious private schools have stuff like that.
I had
like,
no idea.
Coaches are definitely not supposed to curse that much.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. Not in religious schools.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun like having it cut to that chaplain every now and then, because he was just like,
after always like, fuck it.
The look on his face was just like, God help me.
Yeah, it's a running joke in the film that Affleck can't stop when he's like getting mad at the team to start cussing like a sailor. And the chaplain's like, hey man, we talked about this. He's like, what? I'm trying. Whatever. Fuck it.
Like, I felt like Ben Affleck was doing a really good job, but I felt like he needed more interactions with everybody else, especially his separated wife, played by Gina Gavanica, yeah. who I know from Battlefront 2, amazingly enough.
Of course you do.
Yeah, she played
the... Have you met Spider Mike?
Yeah, she played the...
I've seen the league. Mike's like, I've seen a few movies. Most of them were based on video games or comics.
Yes, it's a whole thing. But yeah,
she was a Michelle Williams of this movie.
Like,
she
her character just sort of shows up and she's like, why are you sad? And he's like, fuck you, that's why. And then that's like a half of their interactions kind of thing. Except for towards the end where they're like, they make up, I guess? I don't really know.
I don't think there's any
that's the issue
up.
I have
There's like finding peace,
again,
but there's not making up.
In and out of this movie at will.
Well, that's the issue I have with like the last chunk, because there's... Chris mentioned the freeze frame. Because pretty much right after the freeze frame is what Ben was talking about, where it just goes, and now all the actual horrible shit will now happen from here on out, kind of thing. And it's just like, it
Although
just happens.
We spent the first third of the movie with that.
Well, like, it was the actual, like, consequence of the first third.
It's the way down.
Yeah, because the first part is just him, like, getting...
It's not even a joke. It's the way down. It was, like literally that trip to rock bottom.
Yeah, it was, like, the first half is just him, like, showing how his creative ways of drinking kind of things. Like, I have a Yeti cup, I guess, that I just fill with booze and I work kind of
and
thing.
And I go up, like, and 20 stories, do construction.
Yeah, I also just do this.
I'm an edgelord.
And this with booze. Yeah, like, it was just, every time it was just like, it's like, I get it, you were drunk.
The construction scenes were riveting.
Then the last third is, my semi-ex-wife is really bad for me, and I keep saying yes.
All right, we're on final thoughts.
But
okay.
the rush to, like, the redemption, and the sports thing literally is just sort of thrown out at the last 10 minutes is what it felt like. And it's just, it was really frustrating, because, like I said, Warriors is able to do both things. Yeah. They both make this exciting sort of sports moment, as well as this great character study, and this just didn't do it. But Ben Affleck is trying so hard that I would give it a good job. Yeah, he's doing a good job, and I'll give it 6 out of 10 times. I kept looking at Angela, going, "She's the one from Battlefront 2, right?"
JC,
yeah, I was really looking forward to this one just because I love Warriors so much, and for me, Gavin O'Connor hasn't really had a miss yet. And as far as like a sports movie, I wouldn't say this is...
Shut up, Frank.
Yeah. I wouldn't say this is a miss as a sports movie, but like, it is a testament to him for the sports aspect of this to be really, really weak and cliched, but it still kind of works for me. And that's because he's great at exploring people's inner demons, like I was saying earlier. And he gets really good performances out of people. And so, yeah, in that aspect, I think this really delivered. I do wish... Like, thankfully, there were all the interactions with the ex-wife or the separated wife. I felt like areas of that could have been explored better, or that relationship could have been done differently. Because even like I was saying earlier, like, the situation with her and him could either be help him or stay away from him, because she doesn't really help him in any way. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think it's a really great performance from Ben Affleck, and... Yeah, it's one that I'll probably revisit. I mean, it'd be much better if it were a better sports movie for me, but I almost kind of understand why it isn't, because in this level of like sports, and it's not as important.
It would be a better one or the other if it was just one or the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and if it was the other, and if, I don't think he would have really taken the job, because then it would have been like too cliche. And then, there would have been a scene with that chaplain when the assistant coach saying, "I really want to beat these fucking guys," and the chaplain going, "Yeah, I want to beat these fucking guys too."
Yeah, they would have. Yeah, they would have gone
a
chip behind us.
Like that. I mean, overall, I would say this is probably 6.5 out of 10 weird lens flares.
I'm giving this the highest rating so far.
Jeez,
wow. I mean, I wasn't that crazy about it.
From the director of The Accountant.
Right? Yeah.
That means you should revisit The Accountant.
I will not.
You know, maybe you were just in a bad mood.
And I'm not gonna. No. It's one of those. You know that you have that feeling when everybody in the theater is watching a different movie than you.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Put a pin in that for a watch a movie with us where we have Frank in it, because I want to do that now.
Oh, that sounds fun. So I think we're all more or less on the same page here. None of us think this is a terrible movie. It's a so-so movie.
Yeah. It's a Marsh movie.
That's led by a tremendous Affleck performance, who he clearly is working out his, or at least reminding himself of his own demons here and why this is important to him, why it's important for him to stay sober, or I don't know the degrees of which however he's working out his own particular problems with alcoholism, but clearly this is very relevant in his performance, and you feel it. He is not interested in making himself into a big, pretty A-list movie star in this film. He wants to be rock bottom. I'm only kind of surprised the rock bottom sequence didn't come sooner in this film than it did. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just because I think to sell this movie at all, they had to throw in the sports film, and it feels like everyone involved kind of resents there even having to be a sports film as part of this.
You could take another backdrop to it, you know, like some sort of charity, some sort of hospital.
Affleck was like, I just want to do a recovering alcoholic movie. And they're like, yeah, nobody's going to pay to go see that. It's like, but what if it was an underdog sports movie too?
Is it?
Okay, well, kind of. Fine.
They're not that bad as a team.
But that's the thing. It's like, I like an underdog sports movie when it's good and it's from a really good sports movie director. And I kind of found myself wanting to see those two things fused together and be a really good, fun, but also sad at points movie. Certainly people have done films like that before to some extent. I was okay with this being one of the films that wanted to be a dramedy with a little heavier on the drama, but still finding its balance. It never finds its balance. This thing is way out of balance. But I think if you are, just in terms of performances, you really enjoy watching Affleck. I think in terms of the restraint that O'Connor shows for most of the time as a director and not falling too deep down the cliche hole, it's remarkably restrained from a directorial point of view. It's not all that restrained from a screenplay point of view. And let's not forget, it's not only a underdog sports movie. In fact, it's barely underdog sports movie, despite the marketing. It's largely a recovering drunk movie. And this kind of hits the cliche tree, every branch of it on the way down in terms of writing. Yeah. Handled sensitively in the direction, not so much in the way it's actually scripted out. It's a shame. There's enough here to make not an all-time great movie, but like a movie that was much better than what The Way Back ended up actually being. I'm going to give this 6 out of 10. Fuck, I'm just going to go the easy route, basketballs.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You know, that's how uninspired you're.
I know. That's how I figured it balanced the film. It's look, relatively uninspired.
This movie's
uninspired.
So uninspired that I felt a collective groan when they go, let's shoot for Coach Cunningham. We're like,
Yeah, except for the people sitting behind us, we're like, woo!
Yes, oh my. That she would have applauded a car crash. I mean, jeez.